This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Miravis Ace Fungicide from Syngenta for wheat growers who want to get a head start on head scab control. Latched onto some supportive news and is trying to hold on to the early gains this morning. Corn and soybean prices under some light pressure. Cattle complex is lower to start the week, but lean hog futures are mixed and leaning to the upside in early trade. And hey, speaking of hogs, how about we get a report from Iowa Pork's Taste of Elegance?
Journal, this is AgriTalk. This morning we'll talk with Randy Dickhoot, Senior VP of Real Estate Operations from Farmers National Company, and later Greg Hora, President of the Iowa Pork Producers Council. And in just a moment we'll get an update from Farm Journal's online and business editor, Annalisa Laca. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, how you doing this morning, Davis? Good to talk with you.
I'm doing really good. I'm in my beet laboratory because of the inclement weather outside.
Oh, it's very exciting. Isn't it? Yeah. Schools all over the place closed up here. And as I look out the window, I got a feeling that some of these schools are saying, darn it, we should maybe have the kids in here.
maybe. There's maybe. In my neck of the woods, there's just sort of an ice mist in the air.
Well, you see, I now think we're that's anticipating a dangerous some thing. There's no doubt that is a dangerous thing. Yeah, it's just kind of crappy weather all across the Midwest right now. And we heard it from Kirk Hinz, BAMWX.com weather yesterday, that this is just round two of what is going to be three or four, maybe even five rounds of weather that blows through the middle of the country here over the next 10 days or so. So get used to it. It's going to be here for a while. And then the National Weather Service, 6 to 10 day and 8 to 14 day, they keep those cold temperatures in there too, Davis.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it is January, so what are you going to do?
Well, it's January, but we're not just talking about cold temperatures. Cold temperatures would be normal on the map.
Yeah.
This is below to much below normal temperatures. So it's below cold temperatures. You do understand that.
We did have warm weather for the most part up until now. And I just sort of feel like we're paying for it. We're working that average, you know?
Yeah. Who was it? Was it Ed Valley a couple of weeks ago on one of the shows said, listen, we're going to go through a transition that's going to be brutal.
Yes, and he did say brutal.
Here we are. Yep. We're right in the middle of it. So lots of things going on today. Kind of a defensive tone to the markets. There's growing concern over the Huawei deal between the U.S., Canada, China, and then growing concern over the Chinese economic growth as well. So lots of things that the markets are trying to balance out there right now. What's going on in the news?
Well, President Donald Trump on Saturday outlined a proposal designed to jumpstart shutdown negotiations calling for $5.7 billion in funding for steel barriers along the border with Mexico. That's in exchange for a three-year protection program from deportation for some undocumented immigrants. That's your DACA immigrants. Trump also proposed funding for humanitarian assistance, new drug detection technology, more border agents, and other concessions. Democratic leaders rejected the proposal. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the White House proposal a non-starter and said it lacked a permanent solution for efforts to codify protections for young immigrants illegally brought to the U.S. as children, known as Dreamers. The Democratic-controlled House this week will vote on a package of six funding bills that would fund most closed government agencies and would allot money for various aspects of border security, such as an increase in immigration judges and enhanced infrastructure at some ports of entry. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said he would give Trump's proposal a vote in the Senate, likely today, calling it a, quote, fair compromise. Chip, until now, McConnell has really stayed on the sidelines here, but we're looking at a piecemeal approach again.
Well, and what Pelosi is saying, the reason that she says that it is a non-starter is because it's a temporary fix. This may be part of the negotiating plan of the president. Now, if he comes back, Davis, and says, okay, if you're concerned about it being a temporary fix, let's go ahead and make it permanent. What do you think her response is going to be? Will it be positive or negative?
I could ballpark it.
Yeah. It'll be a big negative buzzer. Yes. There's no question about it. And so 100%. It's all rhetoric. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again right now. This problem is too big to fix. Nobody really wants to fix it.
Yep. Well, a diplomatic row, or is it row, a diplomatic skirmish.
There.
That it will take action against the U.S. and Canada if Washington goes ahead with a demand for the extradition of a senior Huawei executive. The U.S. reportedly has informed the Canadian government that it plans to proceed with a formal request to extradite Huawei Sir Meng.
Uh-oh. I think we lost the handsome newsman out there. He may be getting sucked into the bunker. As we speak right now. That's okay. We were he was talking about...
The fever was found in the Ningxia region, according to China's Ag Ministry. Meanwhile, Chip, get this. ASF is suspected to be present in meatballs produced...
Yeah, Davis, hey, buddy, you're cutting in and out on us, man. Ashley, you know what to do. Turn him off there. Otherwise, it's going to be bouncing back and forth. Anyway, so we've got all the concern over the Huawei executive that the U.S. told China to go ahead and take into custody so that we could get them extradited to the U.S. so that we can press charges. Well, China obviously doesn't like that plan, and that's creating some additional tensions. And the ASF story that he was talking about, yeah, supposedly they found the ASF virus in some pork meatballs that supposedly were made with pork from areas that have not that has not been exposed to ASF as of yet. All right, let's bring in Annalisa Laca. She is the online business editor for Milk and Top Producer. Annalisa, it's nice to talk with you. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chip?
Doing just fine, just fine. Hey, USDA is open today. What should we be thinking about?
Yeah, so USDA, we should clarify that there are loan staff in FSA offices today that are printing 1099s and are available to release checks. We did hear from two different FSA employees, program employees, county directors in two different states that they're being called back for service on Thursday. We have not confirmed that with USDA. So what we think that you need to keep in mind, is, particularly if you're a young farmer with operating loans, that you need to have checks released to go today. And if you're like us, we get paid on the 15th and 30th, so we don't have the option of having a check released today because we don't have it on hand. But what you can do is you can go ask your loan officer for permission to let the program directors, if they are in offices next week, release those funds for you. And our county director says that every office should have the ability to track somebody down that can give them that authorization. So there's that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So there's lots of issues that go around these FSA offices being shut down, but there's also some, there's some loopholes that you can work here, aren't there, Annalisa?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there are. So there are some things that you can do. So the easiest thing, you know, and obviously if we're not talking about people that are going to try to use this shutdown to hide income from the federal government, because that's really not a good idea. But if you are somebody that you have to get your checks cast so that you can make payroll so that you can feed the families of your employees, there are some things you can do. One thing that's the easiest fix is to ask whoever you're selling your product to change the two line on your check from, in my case, Annalisa and FSA to or. If you change it to or, the bank can deposit it, no problem. The other thing is, at a lot of banks, you can deposit at an ATM without a release. So if you deposit your check in an ATM, a lot of times it will go through without a check release.
Annalisa, that's some good advice right there. We will talk with you again later, and thank you so much for being on today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, Chip.
All right, we've got Randy Dickhoot from the Farmers National next. Today we're talking to Eric Tedford, Syngenta Fungicide Technical Manager, about Miravis Ace Fungicide, the latest technology for fusarium head scab control. With Miravis Ace available for 2019, you will be able to treat for head scab as early as 50% head emergence through flowering. Eric, what will that wider application window for Miravis Ace mean for growers?
Essentially, being able to apply Miravis Ace as early as 50% head emergence will give growers more flexibility and the confidence that they need for getting the performance for what they're paying for in a fungicide. In short, it will give them more control and more control to apply when they have to. And with that flexibility of application window beginning at 50% head emergence, growers will be able to protect the main heads as well as the tillers, which we know mature at different rates, and both are critical for yield. Also, the ability to apply earlier with Miravis Ace allows for unexpected events that often impact weather and whether or not the grower will get out into the field. And so if we plan earlier out, we'll have more flexibility to accommodate any of those issues that might disrupt your planning of application.
Yeah, you know, that makes so much sense to me, Eric, and you said it just perfectly there. It gives the producer the ability to apply that fungicide when they want to versus when they have to. But that flexibility has got to be so important to these guys that are out there just trying to make sure that they do things right.
It sure is, and it's all about having that flexibility of timing, because you know what happens is the weather will work against you when you have a short window of time to cover all the acres you need to cover. So working against Mother Nature is never an easy challenge.
Exactly. All right. Thank you so much, Eric. That is Eric Tedford, Syngenta Fungicide Technical Manager.
Times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand filter, so I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components. So dust and contaminants, they're your problem, bro.
John Deere filters. Don't risk it with anything less. Get 10% off your John Deere filter packs at your John Deere dealer or at johndeerestore.com. Offer ends February 28, 2019 on filter packs for subcompact and compact utility tractors. Some restrictions apply. See participating dealers or johndeerestore.com for details. johndeerestore.com, available in U.S. only.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit TryProFarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit TryProFarmer.com right now. That's TryProFarmer.com.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. We've got Davis Michelson with us as well. We're going to talk land values. We've got Randy Dickhout with us. He is the Senior VP of Real Estate Operations for Farmers National Company. Randy, welcome to AgriTalk.
I'm glad to be here, Chip.
Okay, so the latest survey, there's a lot of details that we can get into here, but I kind of want to build it from the ground up here, Randy. First things first, let's talk about sales volume. How much ground is really available if you're out there to be a buyer in the land market? Is there enough supply to meet the demand out there?
I believe there is. It's still fairly in equilibrium. That's what we've seen the past few years. We're seeing a little more come on the market for sale right now. But there's always that question, you know, are the buyers after the best quality, higher quality land, which holds steadier in value, or are they looking for that lower quality, a little harder to farm, not quite as good a soil types? And so normally there's always almost always a buyer for the better quality because right. they're looking for that. The lesser quality may sit there a little longer.
Yeah, that lesser quality piece of ground, the way it looks to me right now, Randy, is if it fits in one operation, the seller is going to be okay. If it fits in two different operations, even the lower quality ground is going is holding on to its value pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it. I think it kind of surprises everybody with the underlying commodity prices and net farm income declines that we've seen these last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that is definitely the case in my book, Randy, and I've been trained over the years that when we get into a downside correction in the land value, that it's going to last about 5 years. Well, we've gone through that five-year period, but we're not seeing the recovery that usually comes along with that on the farm revenue side. Do you think that it's creating a risk of stretching out this downside correction in land values?
I think so. You know, the underlying economics have to be there to really create that value of land or the other outside influences, you know, interest rates, overall world economy, supply and demand of the commodities we produce and so forth. So a lot of factors come in that create some of that uncertainty right now, and I think that's definitely affecting the market. And, you know, it's been holding its own because there's potential and long-term value in land, but the near-term economics just aren't as good, and that's making people more cautious. I think we're probably still another year or so till we bottom out probably or get stable enough so we can go back to the historically longer-term trend of gradual appreciation.
Okay. Randy, I'm looking at your recent report, Today's Land Market is Holding Its Breath, and as I sort of page through this here, I see a theme that keeps popping up, and that's buyer enthusiasm may be waning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Well, we've seen that for, you know, the past several years. Buyers are just being more cautious, and mm-hmm. rightly so. You know, whether that's the local farmer, looking at a neighboring property or one that fits into their operation, they're just pushing their pencil a little harder. When land was going up, it seemed like it was pretty easy to overbid. Now it's just the opposite. You know, it's a struggle to get bids in some cases, but we do, and we get them sold. Yeah. But they're watching those dollars better and trying to see in their minds what the future will hold too.
Yeah, Randy, the interest rate increases that we saw in 2018. Obviously, the Fed has backed off on what they anticipate for interest rate increases in 2019. But what has that done to the investor in the land market? You know, all of a sudden, they've got some investments outside of farmland that are giving them a better return. It may not be a great return, but it's a better return than what they were getting 2-3 years ago. Is that taking some of the money out of the investor side of the land market?
The investment funds have been fairly steady buyers all along with this downturn, but they've been cautious. So interest rates, as you know, or the return on investment for farmland pretty much follows the 10-year treasury bond yield. And so with these interest, those are still low, so that cap rate return on investment is still low on land, but that capitalizes into its value. So they're looking at all that. They're being cautious buyers, but they're still buying. As far as individuals, if the right thing comes up in the right place, they're willing to step in, but I don't think there's that urgency among anybody.
Yeah, and Randy, with the way that the cash rental rates have held up during all of this, it makes it a little harder for that investor to decide to pull back from the land market because the rental rates have given them a decent return.
Yeah, that's true. You know, rental rates typically are slower to go up when land values and things are good, as we saw, and then they're slower to come down as it turns south, farm economy. So definitely those have held stronger than people might have thought. They're watching where those are going, but I know we as a company see, you know, no change to maybe 5% downward trend each last couple of years. But with underlying commodity prices, people would have thought more, but there's competition for that farmland.
Yeah, absolutely. Randy, whenever we get into a recovery, like we're anticipating within the next year, maybe 2 years, when the land prices start to move back to the upside, it's not a universal thing. It starts in a region. What region do you think is going to start it?
Oh, boy. Usually the heart of the Corn Belt seems to lead anything like that. Where you have the areas, and that can be in any state, where you have the better quality land that's in more demand, whether that's Red River Valley or the Delta or heart of the Midwest, those areas definitely kind of lead the trend usually.
Yeah. And if I was going to look at one area that might be kind of a drag or an anchor on everything, I got to go to the upper Midwest, that Wisconsin and Michigan, right?
The, you know, where there's dairy producers right now, definitely been under stress for some time. Upstate New York, same thing. There's some farms being sold for retirement and so forth at this time, maybe a little sooner than they thought. Western plains, dryland wheat, fallow country has struggled a little more just because there's the economics with wheat prices the previous few years until this one were definitely not as good as some of the corn and soybean even. So there was a little more pressure in some of those, although any of these places we haven't seen any sell-off or anything like the 1980s. So it's a different time than that.
Right. Randy, when we're talking dairies and you're talking about maybe some increased sales volumes or at least operations available for sale, I'm curious who these buyers are. Are they thinking they're going to step in and have a better go of it despite low milk prices, or what's the thinking there?
I think some of it is that typical consolidation. Some of those dairy farms may revert to just crop farms as the dairy production, the cows continue to consolidate. So a lot of different outcomes potentially.
Sure. All right. Yeah, Davis brings up a good point, Randy, and it doesn't feel, at this point, it doesn't feel like we're getting into that snowball effect of bankruptcies or forced liquidation really putting an excess of farmland out on the market, are we?
No, I don't think so. Of course, we're in the high season of operating loan renewals and so forth, but every source we have and looking at our sales volume, very little of that is from a financially caused or a stress-caused sale by a producer. So that's good. I think the lenders and the producers have done a good job of readjusting their cash flows during these cash-tight times and responded well to that, and we just hope it doesn't continue too many more years, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, I like the 1 to 2 more years of maybe some steady, slightly lower, but there are areas that are starting to see this land market come back already, and I think that's important, isn't it?
It is, and it's definitely going to be area by area after this 2018 season, because some areas had some drought and some were too wet, and that does have some effect on that land market.
That's right. Randy, thank you so much for having the conversation with us.
You bet. I appreciate it.
That is Randy Dickhoot, the Senior VP of Real Estate Operations for Farmers National Company. We'll be right back with more AgriTalk in just a moment.
are live on the red carpet, waiting for the next generation Credenz soybean. There he is!
Oh, Ed, look! It's Credenz Liberty Link GT27!
I know, Adna! He's got elite genetics!
You gotta love his 4 bushel per acre yield advantage!
And he's both Liberty and glyphosate herbicide tolerant!
Definitely the year's hottest performer! Ask your Credenz retailer about the new Credenz Liberty Link GT27 soybeans.
Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2+ bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian, this wheat market is trading moderately higher early in the session, backed off a little bit. It's trying to get those gains back, and it's pulling soybeans higher too. What's going on here?
Well, Ukraine says it shipped most of its allowable exports on milling wheat during the first half of the marketing year. And, you know, that's driving some speculation that they will slow down, obviously, their export pace the second half of the marketing year, which would increase demand for U.S. wheat. Also, the Russian talk from late last week that they're going to try to control domestic prices from rising. And I think just the general sense here that demand for U.S. wheat will pick up is giving us some price support here.
Okay. And then soybeans, it's been a kind of trade on both sides of unchanged so far today, but right now trying to work back onto the plus side.
Yeah, about a penny higher, and I think a large part of that, the weekly export inspection showed about 417,000 metric tons to China. Not a huge amount, but by far the most we've seen on a weekly basis for quite some time, and as a result, that is giving us a little bit of price support.
Okay, cattle complex, pressure again today. What's going on?
Well, the cash trade last week was higher, but not nearly as much as what the trade was anticipating, and as a result, we are pulling back. But I think all in all, it's just a correction. We did hit contract highs in the middle of last week, and so we're just pulling back a little bit in some corrective trade.
Okay, and lean hog market is looking pretty decent right now, trying to work to the upside.
Yeah, the cash market was firmer yesterday. Anticipate more cash strength as we move through this week with the wintry weather.
Gotcha. Thanks, Brian. That is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk.
I'm Andrew McCray, inviting you to join me for Farming the Countryside, farmer-focused podcast. It's all about production agriculture. Farming the Countryside is available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts and is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. It's a cold day here in Iowa, but that's not going to slow down Greg Hora. Greg is the president of the Iowa Pork Producers Association. He's down in Des Moines getting ready for the opening of the Iowa Pork Congress tomorrow. Greg, I know it's a busy time, man, but thank you so much for making time for us.
Well, we sure appreciate the opportunity to talk about, you know, not only the pork industry, but how that impacts so many Iowans across rural Iowa. And what we heard in the governor's speech earlier this week, in the inaugural speech, dealing with the economic conditions of Iowa and bringing new jobs across the state of Iowa. And we know that the pork industry is an important part of this.
Boy, Greg, she did kind of pointed a very positive arrow right at the Iowa pork industry as being, you know, an important cog in that, in the Iowa economy, didn't she?
Well, yes. And this week we're hosting the Iowa Pork Congress on Wednesday the 23rd and Thursday the 24th, where we have over 300 exhibitors coming down to Des Moines. And these are people that are selling products to producers across the state of Iowa, services, yep, new science, new technology, genetics, new equipment. And we know that because of pork profitability, and we are having some red ink right now because of some of the other issues that we'll talk about this interview. But we do know that when Iowa does well across rural Iowa, Iowa farmers spend money. And that comes right back to our rural economic development and the jobs that are all across Iowa in not just pork production, but in also in our other commodities.
Right. You know, this Iowa Pork Congress, you mentioned it, 300 exhibitors with products to sell to producers. This is really a production gathering, isn't it, Greg? I mean, it's so important to the hog producers in the state of Iowa.
Well, it really is, Chip. And, you know, when you start talking about production and across Iowa, we know that Iowa produces the number one amount of pigs of any state in the United States. But we're very blessed to have a lot of harvest facilities around the state of Iowa.
Yep.
And I know in north central Iowa, where I live at Fort Dodge, where I have my pig farms, Prestige Foods is now embarking on the brand new plant there, a $350 million investment south of Eagle Grove. And I was out there one day this past week with a journalist from the country of Denmark.
Yeah.
And there's 300 to 400 vehicles in the parking lot that are construction workers.
Yeah.
We know that they're having a soft opening date around the first week of March, where they're going to start bringing in USDA inspectors and bringing in pigs. So it takes a lot of time to ramp these facilities up, but not just the harvest facilities, but we know there's further processing across the state of Iowa. We've heard recently that a facility up in Cherokee is going to be reopening, a facility that was closed down about 3 or 4 years ago, and they're going to be doing some further processing of pork products there, with nearly 100 new jobs to start with, and then they're going to ramp up to 500 jobs. Yep. Downtown Des Moines has Pine Ridge, which is just located south of the Capitol in downtown Des Moines. So these are further processing facilities that go on in Iowa that bring jobs to Iowa and that keep our value-added products of pork to Iowans for economic development, but also to sell not only here in the United States, but to sell our pork products all across the world.
Yeah, yeah, and I tell you what, the Prestige Farm plant that's opening up, like you said, soft open first week of March, that is so critical, Greg, because it's going to mean more Prestige Farm, the slaughterhouse, is not going to kill just hogs produced by Prestige Farms. The last I heard, he was going to go out to the market and source some of the animals from non-Prestige Farm producers. Is that still your understanding?
Yes, very true. The
Prestige
family has spoke very openly about this in the north central Iowa area and in the pork circles. And I would tell you that for your listeners to get a grasp of this, 10,000 pigs a day to be harvested in a full shift is 65 semi-loads of pigs coming in every day. And of that, the Prestige family has stated that they'll have about 35 to 40 of those loads of their own pigs, which means we have nearly 30 loads of pigs coming from other Iowa producers. And I already know that producers clear up in northwest Iowa, Lyon County, for example, on the South Dakota border, producers have already signed commitments to bring pigs from Lyon County down to the Prestige plant. So, yes, we do have transportation movement. But as I give your listeners that example of 65 loads of live pigs coming in Monday through Friday, that also means about 40 loads of meat, reefer trucks of meat go out every single day. And that goes into the consumer market here in the United States. And I also know that they are engaged with other countries and other companies for exporting pork overseas. So it's an important part of what we look at for adding value, not only here in Iowa, but also market competition for Iowa pig farmers to have price discovery.
Yes, price discovery. That's the point that I was going to get at, Greg. I mean, all this means is more competition among the processors in the state of Iowa, and that's only going to help us out as producers in the state to help us get a better price. No, I don't think there's any question about that. Hey,
absolutely.
Tell me about what you guys did last night with the Taste of Elegance.
Well, you know, when we were talking about Iowa Pork Congress, the two-day trade show and seminars, which we have a number of seminars and educational opportunities, but we also have a number of meetings that happen on Monday, yesterday, the 21st, and then today, the 22nd, with our annual business meeting. But yesterday, we had the opportunity to host 12 chefs, five from the Des Moines area and seven from across the state of Iowa, in a cooking competition, which we call the Taste of Elegance. We have chefs that are brought in, and they use the same cut of pork, and that was this year pork belly. And pork belly is the underside of the pig that is traditionally thought of that goes into bacon, as we cure that meat and goes into bacon. So we not only have cured bacon, but there's also other variety of ways that they prepare this. And I want to tell you that the four or five award winners last night were all very excited. We normally have upwards of 20 chefs that enter this competition, but we can only do 12 in one evening's event because it takes a considerable amount of coordination, organization, and, of course, judging and eating, which, Jeff, you are obviously would be good at that someday if you ever
wanted to
be our celebrity judge.
Hey, count me in, Greg. Count me in. You know I want to do that.
I'll put you on that short list.
Good deal.
But
good
deal. It's a real good opportunity to feature pork in different manners, and it's a fun competition. And we also bring in other guests that are an important part of the pork industry with that.
Right. Hey, one of the reasons that I wanted to talk with you today also, Greg, is because leading right up to the Pork Congress, Iowa Pork Producers Association has done something really cool. And we know about the MFP payments and how that is helping to provide some cash flow for pork producers out there. But people tend to forget that there's another segment of the support for agriculture, and that is the food purchase program that is out there. Now, that is all well and good, but the problem is they didn't provide a lot of funding to get that food distributed out to the food banks, did they?
Well, that's exactly right. Your listeners that raise grain know about the market facilitation program for farmers and receiving price per bushel on corn and soybeans. We also had a little bit of that for the pork industry, but a real important part, and I have to give hats off to the National Pork Board for leading this effort with USDA, and that was the Food Distribution and Purchase Program that's managed through USDA Food and Nutrition Services. And yes, Iowa pork producers have stepped up working with the Des Moines Food Bank, who works with seven food banks around the state of Iowa, the regional distribution centers around the state of Iowa. And Iowa pork producers have donated $25,000 in a ceremonial check yesterday that we had an event at the Des Moines Food Bank that will help defray the cost of warehousing and distribution. And just to let your listeners know that this is an important part of using up pork, not only because we have abundant supplies and we have a slowdown because of trade and export discussions that are currently happening, but we've been backed up with some pork. So companies bid to provide to USDA in this nutrition program to those in society that are less fortunate, that maybe don't have the resources to buy not just food, but high-quality pork and protein products.
Yeah.
So it's a real exciting program that we've participated with. The directors through the Food Bank Association and the Iowa Hunger Coalition are also very engaged in this, and that reaches all segments of Iowans across the state of Iowa. And so we're helping defray their costs because warehousing frozen or fresh pork products is very difficult, and distributing that, there is a cost to that. So as the nutrition people told us with the Iowa Hunger Coalition yesterday, that this $25,000 that they desperately need to help with the warehousing and distribution, it actually provides another 33,000 meals to hungry Iowans because it helps offset some of their other program costs. So talk about a wonderful partnership, but also a way to use pork and to teach people how to not only cook pork, but to buy more pork products at a convenient price.
Greg, I was just going to say that. When you look at the value that the lower income consumers can get out of pork at the meat case right now, it's astonishing to me. And if they've got a better idea of how to use that product, how to cook that product, and this is going to give them an opportunity to do that, it's only going to help them understand how to use that really, really good value that's in the meat case right now. Greg, we are out of time. We're going to talk more again later, okay? But I really appreciate your time. Have a great time at Congress.
Yep. Thank you much for the time.
You bet. That is Greg Hora, president of the Iowa Pork Producers Association.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous 1 month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Commodity Classic is the place to become an even smarter farmer.
I came here to learn, so if you're going to learn, you got to be out here. You just got to listen and apply it. I'm not a real smart guy, but I'm smart enough to know if I want to grow 300 bushels of corn, I go talk to the guy that's growing 500 bushels of corn.
Join thousands of your fellow farmers at Commodity Classic, America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused educational and agricultural experience, February 28th through March 2nd in Orlando. Discover more at commodityclassic.com.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control,
and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans. Grow smart with Liberty Link and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
First-generation farmers are a special breed. Farm Journal business editor Annalisa Laca helps these ag unicorns tell their story on a new podcast, The First Years.
It may have been hard, but there's a lot of good things that came out of it. A lot of time we spent together, and our kids, I think, were better for it.
Join me each week as I chat with first-generation farmers and ranchers who have what it takes, grit and determination, to start from nothing.
The First Years with Annalisa Laca is available where you access your favorite podcasts, iTunes, Google Play, and now the new AgriTalk app.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
Standing
Davis,
by.
Yeah, yeah, what a worthwhile effort. What the Iowa Pork Producers Association is doing, making sure that those pork purchases that USDA is doing, the food purchases in particular, but in this case, we're talking specifically about pork, making sure that it can get from the main warehouse out to the other facilities out there so that they can actually be used for the purpose that they're intended for. Yeah. It's a great effort. It really is. Greg did a great job of spearheading that, and he's got a busy couple of days down in Des Moines at the Iowa Pork Congress. That Congress has been going on for quite a while, and I do know this. There's 4-H kids, there's FFA kids from all across the state that are in the judging contest that are heading for the Iowa Pork Congress, and that's going to be, they're going for the gold this week down in Des Moines. That's fun time.
Now, you're a longtime respected broadcaster in the ag community, Chip.
I don't know about.
Can you get us on? Can you get us on that list? Oh, I want to be one of the judges.
The judges list for the Taste of Elegance.
How can we line that up?
I think that's already been lined up.
Well, about next year?
I think that's what I'm talking about for next year. I think that's already been set up here
already,
Davis.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I saw that Dustin Hoffman down there. Remember Dustin? He was out on Crop Tour with us. He was with the Iowa Agribusiness Network. He was down that way last night having a good time. And you want to talk about somebody that's qualified. There's a guy that's qualified.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I guess I'm just going to have to make delicious pork chops at home then, apparently.
Yes. Yes. Hey, lots of things going on in the world right now, but there is so much focus on it cracks me up, Davis. We can go for months in anticipation of what the tariffs are going to do and what a slowdown in the Chinese economy might do and how it could slow down the global economy. Does this sound familiar to you? Does this sound like things that we've talked about on AgriTalk for the last 3-4 months?
It seems vaguely familiar.
Vaguely familiar.
I'm checking my memory banks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And today we've got all the financial stations, all the business networks out there are talking about how, hey, you know, I don't think that China's really appreciates what they've done with the Huawei official and how the U.S. is handling it. And they're really? It's shocking to me, but we do have some pressure on the equity trade. Stocks are under future. We've got Dow Jones is off almost 250, 260 points. NASDAQ is off almost 100 points. S&P 500 is off 30 points. That part of the reason that we're seeing as much pressure on the equities as we are, it's not just the Huawei, but it's the tariffs slowing down the Chinese economy. Now, mm-hmm. we've always talked about the likelihood of a relief rally when we do get a deal done with China on trade issues. Uh-huh. I'm starting to question that. I'm starting to question whether it will be a short-term relief rally or if it will be a rally. Okay? And the okay. reason I'm questioning it is because have we done enough damage to the Chinese economy and to the ability of the Chinese workforce to generate activity? Have we already done enough damage that when we do get that trade deal going with China again,
yeah.
that it is yeah. actually worth a rally in equities, actually worth sustained strength in the commodities? It could be. It may not just be a relief rally anymore. That's all I'm saying. Is that a little too optimistic for you? It must be. It must be, because I think we just lost Davis again. So maybe it is a little too optimistic. And then the conversation with Randy Dickhoot from the Farmers National. Davis is the editor of Pro Farmers Landowner Newsletter now, but leading up to that, and for many years, it was Mike Walston. And Mike Walston taught me, and Mike Walston taught Davis, that the land market will typically go through that five-year downside correction. Well, here we are. You can argue that we're actually into year six of a downside correction in the U.S. land market right now. So maybe we're already starting to extend it a little bit. What Randy was talking about is that there's enough pressure out there enough general pressure out there that if we aren't lower in 2019 on land values, it is steady might be the best call or the best that we could hope for out of this market. There have been some pockets of strength out there, though. It is really amazing to me. And when you really dig deep and try to figure out exactly why the strength is coming into the land market in some of these areas, it comes back to livestock. It really does. And it's not just the fact that the livestock markets help in generating cash flow, help in generating revenue. But the guys have got to have some way somehow to manage their manure, right? So we continue to see some strength in those livestock intensive areas because of the revenue that the livestock is generating, but also because they have to have a manure management plan. So you've got that lift going on in Northwest Iowa in particular. That's a spot that I always think about, but North Central Iowa is included in that. And there are some other areas across the country that, of course, are going to be feeling the lift from livestock and land values out there. All right. So, hey, thanks to Randy from Farmers National for the conversation today, and to Greg Horan. Seriously, good luck to everybody down there in Des Moines. I know we've got some tough weather coming, but the Iowa Pork Congress is always such an important and fun event for Iowa pork producers. I sure hope everybody travels safe, gets down there safe and sound. Come back for a conversation this afternoon. I'm going to be talking with Clayton Pope from Clayton Pope Commodities. And, of course, Davis and I will have all the updates to all the news from today. And tomorrow morning on AgriTalk, it's a Farmer Forum. Come back for that tomorrow right here on AgriTalk.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Current price times 1,000 acres, carry the one.
These days, it's hard to make the math work for your soybean fields. The BASF Liberty Link system with Liberty Herbicide makes it easier. Start with a 2-plus bushel per acre yield advantage. Add in lower system input costs and more complete weed control, and you get an extra $33 or more profit potential per acre compared to Asgrow Roundup Ready 2 Xtend soybeans.
Grow smart with LibertyLink and BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Thanks to Miravis Ace Fungicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about pre-ordering Miravis Ace to get a head start on head scab control.